We pray that God will bless the children today. Well, on this Sunday before Thanksgiving Day, I think we have so much to thank God for. Amen? I could spend the next hour simply going over all the things that I have to thank God for, and we would just be getting started. Most of all, we should be thankful for the salvation that He has provided for us through His own Son. Jesus Christ gave His life so that we who trust in Him could have eternal life. So in this message for today, I want us to look at some of what the Bible has to say about the blood that Jesus shed and the effect that it has on us who believe. What is blood? Blood is the life-giving and life-sustaining fluid that circulates through our bodies. And Scripture says that life is in the blood. And as Christians, we should know this better than any others. It's interesting that when that was written a couple thousand years ago, that life is in the blood, they already knew that life is in the blood. We know it today scientifically. They knew it then because guess what? When you drain the blood out, there's no life. So they understood that life is in the blood. In the preface to the book Precious Blood, Richard Phillips writes this: at the very heart of our Christian faith is a precious red substance, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. To read the Bible with any seriousness is to see the shedding of blood or the implication of it on almost every page. The shedding of blood runs throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Why? Why so much shedding of blood? Well, the simple answer is it's because there is so much sin in the world. The shedding of blood is the result of sin. Since life is in the blood, the shedding of blood represents death, and death is the result of sin. You know, we have no record of the shedding of blood and no record of death before Adam and Eve sinned. But when they chose to sin against God, they brought sin, death, and the shedding of blood into the human condition. And we might think to ourselves, well, that was a little extreme for simply eating the forbidden fruit. If we think of it in those terms, we might say, yes, that's pretty extreme. But what they did was to rebel against their Creator. What they did was to sin against a holy and righteous God. What they did was cosmic treason. And when we see it in those terms, then we understand. You know, we have a tendency to downplay our own sinfulness. And one of the things that I want us to do today is to recognize our own sinfulness. And the cost of that sinfulness was the price of the life of the Son of God. Romans 5:12 tells us that sin came into this world by Adam and death through sin. And death spread to all. Sin brought death, and thus it brought the shedding of blood. In fact, Remember that God caused the first blood to be shed in response to Adam and Eve's sin. The Bible tells us that God, moved by mercy and compassion, sacrificed an animal to make garments of animal skins as a covering for Adam and Eve. This shedding of blood demonstrated that sin results in death. And it prefigured the death that would be required to provide a final covering for sin, the death of God's own Son and the shedding of His precious blood. God responded to Adam and Eve's sin with compassion, with mercy. He provided a covering for them to cover their sin, their shame. But that sin could not be removed by that covering. That sin could not be removed until the payment for that sin was paid. And that payment was paid by the Son of God on the cross. The significance of the blood of Jesus can be seen in how frequently it is mentioned in Scripture. The blood of Christ is mentioned 3 times as often as the cross of Christ, and 5 times more often than the death of Christ. The Bible speaks to us over and over again about what the blood of Christ accomplished for us pertaining to our salvation. Listen to a few of these references. We have propitiation by His blood, Romans 3:25. We have been purchased by His blood, Acts 20:28. We have been justified by His blood, Romans 5:9. We have redemption by His blood, Ephesians 1:7. We have been brought near to God by His blood, Ephesians 2:13. We have peace through His blood, Colossians 1:20. We are cleansed by His blood, Hebrews 9:14. We are sanctified through His blood, Hebrews 13:12. We are ransomed by His blood, according to 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. And we are set free from sin by His blood, Revelation 1:5. Over and over and over again, the writers of Holy Scripture focus on the effects of the precious blood that was shed for me. These and many other benefits remind us that the blood of Christ is central to all that we are as the redeemed people of God. That is why we preach the blood, we pray the blood, and we sing about the wonderful power of His blood. And we even partake of His blood as we celebrate communion together with Him. And we partake spiritually of the blood of Christ. So in this sermon this morning, I'd like us to focus upon the first 2 benefits that I mentioned. That we have propitiation by His blood, and that we are purchased by His blood. I'd like you to open your Bibles up to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. You probably saw on the title screen that we're going to actually have 2 texts today. We will get to Acts 20 in a few minutes. We're going to start in Romans 3, and I'm going to read verses 21 through 26. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. You know, the theology of the church is filled with some big words, such as justification, sanctification, predestination, and others. These big words have big meanings, and one such word is propitiation. Propitiation doesn't flow easily from our lips. You will not find it to be the topic in most social settings. At church potlucks and Christmas banquets, we're usually not talking to each other about propitiation. And unfortunately, it is probably not the subject of too many sermons or Sunday school classes either. Yet it is so vitally important to the Christian faith. Its importance cannot be overstated. J.I. Packer, in his classic book, Knowing God, asks this question. Has the word propitiation any place in your Christianity? Well, the answer is, it does, whether we realize it or not. At the heart of the work of Christ is his sacrificial outpouring of his blood, which the Bible states provides a propitiation for our sins. Verse 23 is one of the most familiar and most important verses in the Bible that tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many have sinned? All. Right? All. For there is no distinction. No distinction meaning black, white, yellow, brown, red, Jew, Greek, Gentile, male, female, adult, child. No distinction. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. A vitally important verse, but the verses that follow are even more important. They tell us that those who have sinned, which is all of us, are now freely and graciously made right with God through Jesus. Look at verse 24 again. Are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. You and I stood justly condemned because of sin. Yet God was pleased to offer his own Son as a propitiation through the shedding of his blood. So what is propitiation? William Hendrickson defines it as a wrath removing sacrifice. A wrath removing sacrifice. In accordance with his holiness, God is angry at sin. As I mentioned earlier, sin is rebellion against God and against his purposes for mankind. And scripture tells us that God's righteous wrath is poured out, quote, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Women are included in that, by the way. And that's Romans 1:18. Therefore, God's wrath is due against all of humanity, because all have sinned and fall short of his glory, his holiness, his righteousness, his perfection. Those who are guilty of sinning deserve the wrath of God that is due for their sins. We all deserve the full wrath of a holy God. That is what we deserve. So don't ever say, I only want what's coming to me. Or I only want what I deserve. No, you do not. In God's divine forbearance and according to His grace, He sent His own Son to be a sacrifice for sin, to satisfy the righteous and just wrath of God due for those sins. Propitiation describes the act of appeasing God's holy wrath by Christ pouring Himself out unto death, satisfying the need for those sins to be punished in full, with the result that God is both just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So God is absolutely just. Just as He is absolutely holy, He's absolutely just. And in God's justice, every sin must be punished to the fullest. God cannot simply say, oh, you know, Steve, I'm not worried about that sin. That's not a big deal. You know, Ruthann, I'm not worried about that sin. That's not a big deal. I can overlook that. I'm gracious. I'm merciful. I'll just overlook that sin. No, God cannot do that. It would violate His holiness. It would violate His righteousness. It would violate His justice. Every single sin must be paid for and paid for in full, requiring death. But He can also be the justifier of those who put their faith in Jesus because Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And He washed it with His blood. Oh, goosebumps. The blood of Christ is our propitiation. It is the wrath-removing sacrifice that results in our redemption and our justification before God. And note, it is to be received by faith, which is in itself a gift to us from God. And once we receive it by faith, listen to me, it is ours forevermore. We need never again fear the wrath of God, because His wrath that was due to us was appeased by His Son, propitiated by His Son. Listen to what the Apostle John writes regarding this. It's found in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It's not that we loved God. We did not. We did not love God. We loved ourselves. And we loved our sin. Right? We were dead in our trespasses and sins. But He loved us from eternity past. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit agreed to do something about our condition, deserving the wrath of God, deserving eternal spiritual death, eternal punishment for our sin. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit decided, because of His love for us, that they would deal with that penalty for our sin. It is not that we love God, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. What happened to Christ was not an accident. It was the divine plan of God to provide a sacrifice. It is through the shedding of His blood that we are cleansed, that God is satisfied, that His wrath was poured out for our sins. And so I'm going to say to you this morning, we should be profoundly grateful that God so loved us and sent His Son to be the sacrifice for our sins. And we should be profoundly grateful that Jesus came, that He came down from heaven to earth, that He took on humanity, that He lived the perfect sinless life that we could not live. And then He died the death that we could not die, a death that would pay the penalty for sin. We should be profoundly grateful that Jesus came and shed His precious blood to secure our pardon, full and free. Reminds me of a chorus we used to sing called "Shed for Me." It goes like this. I was condemned. No one could save me. No power on earth could set me free until I claimed for my redemption the blood of Jesus shed for me. The chorus goes like this. Shed for me. Shed for me. Oh, His blood was shed for me. For my pardon, full and free. The blood of Jesus shed for me. Verse 3. My guilt is gone. My sins forgiven. The Lord has won my victory. I stand upon this rock unshaken. The blood of Jesus shed for me. Shed for me. Shed for me. Oh, His blood was shed for me. For my pardon, full and free. The blood of Jesus shed for me. Think of that. Jesus suffered and died in my place. He received what I deserved. He paid the penalty for my sins. He purchased my pardon with His precious blood. And we have to give thanks for this indescribable gift. And as profound as this gift is, it's only the beginning of all that the blood of Christ has accomplished for us when we trust in Him. One more profound truth from Scripture is that we have been purchased by His blood. That means our life and even our body are no longer our own. They belong to Him. We have been purchased by His blood. So turn over to Acts chapter 20, verse 28. This is in the middle of Paul's charge to the Ephesian elders. We read this last week or 2 weeks ago, but I want to read it again. Verse 28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Paul's reason for the elders to pay careful attention to the church was this: the church belongs to God. It was purchased or obtained by the blood of Christ. So we who are the church, we belong to God. We are his own possession. Isn't that incredible? He paid the price for us. We belong to him. Listen to these words written by Paul to Titus, Titus 2:13 and 14. We are waiting for our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. We are waiting for that day when Jesus returns. Amen. Maranatha, Lord, come quickly. We're waiting for our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. And he did so to redeem us from lawlessness, to redeem us from sinfulness, to redeem us from unholiness. Because that's where we all were. There is none righteous, no, not one. We were in slavery to our sin nature, in slavery to sin, in slavery to Satan. But we have been purchased by his blood. And he purchased to redeem us from that lawlessness so that we would now be a people for his own possession, zealous for good works. That should describe every follower of Christ. Just as we heard in our Sunday school class this morning, we are no longer to walk in step with the desires of the flesh. We now walk in step with the Holy Spirit. We no longer pursue sin. We now pursue righteousness. We've been purchased by his blood. So our God has purchased those who make up his church by the blood of his Son, who was sent by him to this earth to accomplish that very task, and who did so willingly. So now we belong to him. We have been bought and paid for. We are not our own. You and I do not have autonomy any longer. You and I do not have rights. We are his. Lock, stock, and barrel. All of us are his. Oh, but Pastor, I have the right to do this. I have the right to do that. I have the right to say this. I have the right to say. No, you don't. Not unless your Lord says so. He owns you. You are his. You're no longer your own. Listen to what Paul says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. He writes this: Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. You know, there's a big thing right now in our world, right? That no one is going to tell me what I have to do with my body. Right? Nobody's going to tell me I have to get a vaccination or a booster, or I have to wear a mask or whatever. You fill in the blanks, right? No one has authority over my body except me. Well, that might be true for the unbeliever. It's not true for the believer. We have authority over nothing, folks, because we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. We're to glorify God with our body. Now, I'm not saying that has anything to do with vaccinations. Don't get me wrong here, okay? All I'm trying to tell you is we live in a culture today where we think we should be in control of our own lives, right? Where we should do what we want to do, where we should make decisions for ourselves, where we should pursue the goals we want to pursue. We should pursue the things we enjoy. And that's not what the Scripture tells us. The Scripture tells us there's been a price paid for you and I. We do not have the liberty any longer to live however we want to live. We have a master, an owner. He calls the shots now, not us. That's what this is about. The Corinthians were still behaving as though they had the right to sin. And Paul says, no, you don't. Right? You don't have the right to do that with your body. Because your body is not your own. You've been bought with a price. What was the price? The death of God's Son. Right? Some of you guys probably catch on the news when a piece of art gets sold at auction, right? And I mean it's just mind-boggling, right? It's a picture, folks. $15 million for a picture, right? Or more, right? It's unbelievable what people pay for things at auction. The value of that is based on the cost, right? I doubt if I could get $15 million for one of those pictures over there at auction. If I could, hey, all our problems would be over, right? Your value is based on the price that was paid for you. And the price that was paid for you was the death of God's Son. His precious blood shed for you. That's your value in the eyes of God. And it's His eyes that count. You've been purchased by His blood. You are the dwelling place of His Spirit. And that should provide motivation for us to pursue living our lives to glorify Him. Because our life is not our own. We belong to Christ. We've been purchased by His blood. And listen to me. Being the possession of Christ is a source of great hope. Amen? To belong to Christ is the foundation for comfort and security both in this life and in the life to come. I need not fear death. And I do not. Now, I fear some of the things related to death, like pain and suffering. Nobody looks forward to that, right? And I'm not telling you I'm ready to die today. I am, but I'm not. I mean, you know how that goes, right? I don't think my work's done yet. There's some things I'd still like to be able to do for Christ. But when that day comes, hey, I'm out of here, folks. Sorry. You got to find another pastor. That's a promotion I won't turn down, even if I could. But we are secure in life, in death, in eternal life, because we've been purchased by the blood of Christ. No returns, no exchanges, right? We are secure eternally by the price that has been paid for us. So it is the source of our hope. I know we're not people that do catechisms very often, but I want to read to you question one of the Heidelberg Catechism. It asks this question: what is your comfort in life and death? What is your comfort in life and death? And here's the answer. That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for my sins with his precious blood, and he has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me willing and ready from now on to live for him. So if you're a child of God through the precious blood of Christ, and you are now the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells within you, he makes us willing and ready from now on to live for him. Amen? Now, we will not do so perfectly, as we talked about in our Sunday school class this morning. Right? We will stumble. We will fall at times. But our desire, our will now, is to live to please and glorify him who paid such a price for us. Praise God. We are to give thanks to him. We belong to him because he purchased us by his blood. We are a people for his own possession. We are part of the flock over which he is the great shepherd. In Psalms 100, verse 3, we're reminded, quote, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Again, the psalmist understood this. God is our creator. God is our sustainer. In him we live and move and have our being. Amen? So we are his people, and we are the sheep of his pasture. Now, I know they don't brand sheep, right? But it is as if we who are his sheep are branded by Christ. He knows who are his. Amen? In fact, when Jesus declared himself to be the good shepherd, he did so acknowledging that he would take possession of the sheep by laying down his life for them. Listen, John chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. Jesus said this, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the implication there is the sheep that he lays down his life for are the ones that he knows. And how well does he know them? As well as he knows the Father, and as well as the Father knows him. That's knowing, right? That's knowing. So Jesus ransomed us with his precious blood, knowing everything there is to know about us. Now, I'm thankful that you don't know everything there is to know about me. I mean, let's just be honest, right? In fact, I'm very thankful that my wife didn't know everything there was to know about me, or she never would have married me. But God does. He knows every idle thought, every lustful thought, every evil thought. And of course, he sees every evil deed, right? He knows us. Jesus knows his sheep. And yet, he was willing to lay down his life, to shed his blood, to cover all of those sins. He gave his life for his sheep. He shed his precious blood so that he would rescue and secure the flock of God. And it is that flock that elders and pastors are to oversee, knowing that that flock belongs to Christ and that they will have to give an account to him, because he is the chief shepherd. We have been purchased by the blood of Christ. And that gives us great hope, doesn't it? Absolutely nothing can take us away from him. Nothing can take us out of his hand. Nothing can separate us from his love. We of all people on this planet should be most thankful for our security in Christ. We belong to Jesus and we always will. And we are his prized possession. We know that he will take care of us. Again, I talked about the value that is placed on certain items, right? Prices keep going up on things, don't they? And some things are really expensive, right? And we take special care of those really expensive things, don't we? I mean, one of the things that we did after the fires, ravaged our community. And in the case of Patty and myself, the fire reached 3 blocks from our house. One of the things that we did is we invested in a fireproof safe, right? I put the quotation marks up. I realize you can't hear that on the audio. But so-called fireproof safe, right? I mean, the one that we have is supposed to last at, so many thousand degrees for such a length of time, right? There is no such thing as a fireproof safe, okay? But you're hoping that the fire gets put out before that safe, the contents of the safe are destroyed, right? And what do we put in that fireproof safe? We did not put a roll of toilet paper in there, or a box of Kleenex, or some blank copy paper, right? Because those things don't have value. We don't really care much if our toilet paper burns up in a fire, okay? I know some people do, but sorry, we don't. We put in that little fireproof safe our precious valuables, the things that we would want no matter what, right? Listen to me. You are precious in the sight of Christ. Precious. And he's put you in his safe. And that safe is covered by his blood. He paid the ultimate price for you. He will let nothing happen to you that is not for your good and for his glory. Everything that affects our lives is because he loves us. And no matter what happens to us, listen to me, it could be worse. Much worse if it were not for the precious blood of Christ that he covers us with. And he will take us home to be with him. And as long as we're alive in this body, he will continue to cleanse us, to sanctify us, and to make us increasingly righteous and holy. To make us more like him. That's the ultimate goal. That's his ultimate desire for you and for me. That we would be like him. That we would be conformed into the image of Christ. And one day, that will be accomplished. we shall be like him when we see him face to face. Amen? These are precious and magnificent promises, are they not? And listen to me. If you're thinking to yourself, well, what do I have to come and give thanks for tonight at Thanksgiving service? Well, I just gave you a whole lot. Okay? And I hope that during this week, focused around Thanksgiving, that you will give thanks for the precious, precious price that was paid so that you could be secure in the love of God. Reminded me of another song. Listen to these words. This is the chorus. O victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him. That's before, by the way, if you ever wondered. He loved me before I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood of his blood. What a powerful truth that song contains. Amen? I pray that you will never take for granted the price that's been paid for you, and that you will rejoice in being the possession of Christ. You are his. I and my beloved's, and he is mine. His banner over me is love. We belong to him. And by his grace, we are in him and of him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity this morning for us to be reminded that we are purchased by the blood of your Son. That he is the propitiation for our sins. That he paid the penalty, the price for our sins. That he died in our place so that we might live unto him. Father God, I pray that we would never cease to give thanks and praise to you for this glorious salvation that you've made possible by your grace. Increase our faith in these promises, Father God. And Lord, help us to tell others about this great gift that we have been given so that they might share in it as well. And thank you for the security that we have in your love. Thank you, Father God, that you've surrounded us with your love. And you will protect us from all that could separate us from you and from your love. Lord, help us to be courageous no matter what we face in this life, knowing that we are eternally secure in your love. And for this, we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.